And I thought, what would happen if, for a week, I didn't use the word anger to describe how I was feeling? I don't want to get rid of it. I want to have the choice to be able to be in that state. It can be a resource at times. But what would happen if that wasn't my tool of first resort when I was upset? What if I used, this annoys me, or this peeves me, and I thought, jeez, I can't say that. I just see it. You know what? This is really peeving me. Yeah. So I thought, well, it'll probably be a great patter-up. So you know what I did? For a week, I tried it. Blew my mind. I'll never forget the first time I used it. I was on the road. I flew into the city. I come in there. I get about 1 o'clock in the morning to the hotel. I got to be up early in the morning to the seminar. And, you know, my staff usually gets there and checks me in. Well, I get there. I'm not checked in. So I get to the front desk, and this person who died 4 years ago and is still working at the front desk kind of like walks up kind of like this to the front desk, like this, you know, and then hunts and pecks my name into the computer, you know, and can't seem to find it. And I'm like, then I finally turn to this person. I said, you know, I know this isn't your fault, but I'm getting a bit peeved. This person looked up, started grinning. I started grinning. I just totally wiped out my state right there. And I said, you know, I really like your help, and I'm really tired. And said, that's all it took. Person said, oh, I'm so sorry. Here, just take the key, and I'll figure it all later. I was like, whoa, I like peeve. Cool stuff. I started linking what to it? Pleasure. That's right. This is hot stuff. And you know what? I started using it more and more and more. I also found it helped me communicate better when I was upset with somebody that I got a much better result. If I called up and I said, you know, this is just annoying me a little bit. I really appreciate your help. Rather than calling up and saying, you know, this really makes me angry. That puts people on the defensive, doesn't it? And I learned how to soften it even more from there. But see, one of the things in my life was, I'm a very intense person. And that on the pleasure side, unbelievably intense. But I used to also be really intense on the other side. If something upset me, boy, I really would lose it. Just like I lose it on the positive side on the good one. So it was like double-edged sword. I mean, I called it all passion. That's all being passionate. But that's changed. I can still get strong if I want to get strong. Don't get me wrong. But it's not where I start by any stretch. Some of my staff used to travel with me. They knew, man, if something went wrong, I was definitely volatile. I want everything to be perfect for people. Right? And I demand that as much for myself, so I demand it from everybody else too. And boom, I'd lose it because I'd use these words. So what I began to do is I began to say, you know what? Here's what happened. We had three people together, and we all had a funnel, the same funnel of experience, same sensations very much coming in. We all were seeing, hearing, and seeing the same thing, except here was the difference. We all had different little forms, and one guy had livid and rage and kill somebody, and mine was angry, and this guy's peeved and tinkled and a little annoyed. And when the same sensations came in, we just put them in our form, and that's what we felt. And I realized I used to feel that way a lot, because I used the label a lot. So I went over to see Bob Bays one day, a friend of mine, and we were chatting, and I started telling him all about this. And I said, you know what? This is so simplistic, I have a hard time believing you could do it this quickly. But if we just change the habitual language we use, we would totally change our emotional states consistently for the rest of our lives. And just by changing the words. And he said, this is amazing. And Bob started sharing with me about an experience he'd had only a few days before. He'd been on the road like me. He had been burnt to the core, really exhausted. He came home. Bob's got a really neat place in Malibu right down on the beach. But it's not huge, and it's not really great to have a lot of guests there because there's really no place for him to be. While Bob was on the road, Brandon had come along, his wife, and invited a few friends to stay over. Plus, their daughter had come to stay for a couple days and decided to stay for a month in his tiny little bungalow on the beach. There's no room to even turn around and move without many people in there. So can you imagine the kind of state that Robert was in at this point? He was near, what's the key emotional state where people lose it? Threshold. He was definitely at an emotional threshold, and he lost it. And what pushed him over the edge was the one thing he wanted, all he asked for, was he'd set up his VCR and he wanted to have some game, a baseball or football game, taped. And when he got home and somebody had messed with that, he lost it. And he found out that it was his daughter, and he totally unleashed. And he started yelling and screaming at her with absolute rage, using four-letter words, which Bob never does and had never done in her entire life up until that point in her 20s, of actually raging at her in that language. And she freaked out and burst into tears. The way he describes it is she whined all over the place. That's also transformational vocabulary. Right? Is whining transformational vocabulary? Sure is. It's describing transforming the experience through words. That's what transformational vocabulary is. It's when you take sensation and you transform it through language. Transformational vocabulary transforms your experience. And by the way, you can transform your experience into something more pleasurable or more painful. So Bob loses it, but the most funny part of the whole thing is Brandon is there, and she assumes this is a pattern erupt and starts cracking up hysterically. Bob was wishing it was a pattern interrupt. He wished he thought of that. She's cracking up. She thinks for sure it's that. And then she realizes it's not. And Brandon was so perceptive. She went up to Bob afterwards. She said, Bob, she said, you've never done this before. I've never seen you act this way ever with her. She said, you know, you've never done that. You know, Kelly, their daughter, you're doing something that Kelly does. She has these emotional explosions every now and then. And I noticed something. You're behaving like she behaves, and you're using a word she always uses, a word you never use. You always talk about being overloaded. But I noticed you've been saying for the last week, you keep saying you're overwhelmed. And that's the thing she always says right before she loses it. I thought, wow. Is it possible that by adopting someone's language patterns, you would adopt their emotional patterns as well? And as I began to test that, I found it's absolutely accurate, especially if you model their physiology when you say the words and their gestures. And by the way, how many of you have words that are part of your vocabulary, maybe even phrases that you picked up from your parents that you even to this day use the same way they use them, meaning the same kind of tonality and elements? How many of you got some of those you're aware of? I'm curious. I have a few. My father, my fourth father, the one I had the closest relationship with, he used to walk home at days, and he used to walk in the door right after work, and he would yell, "Monkey gurus!" For like no reason. It made no sense. We all went into a deep trance. Right? But he had such a good time, we all started doing the same thing. We had no clue what we were doing. He used to call people dudes before it was like the popular thing to do. And we all did that. And to this day, I still call my kids dudes and dudesses and tease them in the same way. The same tonality comes out of me, and I feel the same emotions as I felt then. I also discovered angry language came from my family as well. That's exactly what my dad would do when he lost it. And I was using his same language pattern, feeling his same emotions, his same intensity. How many can relate to this? I'm curious. So I began to think, wow, you know what? This works not only on the negative side, though. It works on the positive. See, do you think that if you have an experience of pleasure coming through here, does the amount of pleasure, is that based upon your actual experience or based upon the label you put upon it? What do you think? Here's what I want you to put in your notes. The label you put on your experience becomes your experience. The label you put on your experience becomes your experience. The minute you say, this is humiliating, you're right. But maybe what it is a little bit uncomfortable. Would that make a difference in how you feel, yes or no? You better believe it. And you know what? Some people have these intense words like humiliation. They attach it to any sensation they don't like. Anything that's disappointing, they don't call it disappointing. They call it humiliating. And you know what? They feel humiliated. My mom called me on the phone. And this was right after I started making these distinctions. And I was out of town. And my answering service wasn't working, so I had just a machine on there. And she called, I guess, two or three times, and she got the machine. And she reached my secretary one time. She absolutely lost it. I finally got a message from her on the machine by the time I got home. And she's went on and on about how my son is not president of the United States. And who does he think he is? Though I got to leave a message on a machine. I want to talk to him personally. She went on and on and on. I am totally and completely humiliated. And she went absolutely crazy. So I called her up and explained to her that she should look up the word humiliation in the dictionary. And that did not build much rapport. What I began to do is tease her and harass her until I broke her what? And then I explained to her transformation vocabulary, and I explained to her everything I'd done to support her, and that she was already making herself feel horrible by selecting words that weren't appropriate. She jumped the gun, number one, in her beliefs. Number two, even if she believes something is wrong, she used the word that intensified the emotion, true or false. How many of us do this? How many of us select words that intensify our negative experience?